Planning your presentation. Introduction. Each unit thus far has been modeled on a phase of the journey in building a company and the presentations that were required along the way. If Language was a real startup, how do you think they would do? Would their language product take off and spread across the globe, or never quite catch on? Would they really get that investment they need to go big, or run out of money, pack up, and go home? One thing is for sure, starting a company is an exciting journey. Now it's time to drop the case study entirely and focus solely on you and your dream. How is your personal project progressing at this point? In the early days of this course, you practiced pitching it to potential partners or investors, and then trained up a workforce to help you create your vision. What's the next presentation that you will have to make for your organization? Well, it depends what stage of growth you are up to. Stage 1, ideation and research. At this point, you're still coming up with an idea and researching your target market to try and aim for product market fit, where you have a good market and a product that can satisfy its needs. Stage 2, commitment. For this, you build a team and a minimum viable product, or the simplest product you can, to get to market as soon as possible. Stage 3, traction. Here is when you launch a product and have initial users. You want to get the word out to get more users. The traction stage is a good time to start pitching angel investors to try and secure venture capital, which is the name given to investment in promising startups. Stage 4, refinement. What feedback are you receiving from your early adopters, the first people using your product or service? At this stage, you'll be trying to make the product or service better and your process more efficient. Stage 5, scaling. If you are here already, that's impressive. You scale once your product is doing well and demand is high. At that point, grow as fast as you can. Stage 6, becoming established. Congratulations, your company is no longer a startup. Try and keep customers for longer, increasing retention, and home in on the correct marketing strategy. So what kinds of presentations should you create at these various stages? Stage 1, ideation and research. In this phase, you'll want to create a wireframe. Stage 2, commitment. At this stage, you'll want to create a prototype. Stage 3, traction. Here, create a pitch deck to secure venture capital. Stage 4, refinement. If this is the stage you're in, you'll be reporting back the data you've gathered and conclusions you've made to the rest of your design and development team as you iterate and improve the product. Prepare a report with charts and graphs capturing the relevant data. Stage 5, scaling. When scaling, there will be a lot of new staff. It's a good idea to create an onboarding presentation at this stage, and you already have. So instead, update your pitch deck to include data as you go for Series A funding, or the first round of funding from large investors. Stage 6, becoming established. Here, create reports on data about your customers' use of the product or service to share with your marketing team, or in the annual report to the board. Utilize existing material. Whatever stage you are in, you will probably have to create new PowerPoint content based on your growth and any new information that comes up. But the good news is that the more established your company becomes, the more existing content you have to draw on. There is no need to completely reinvent the wheel every time you give a presentation. You can save time, and therefore money, by using slides from previous presentations. To merge content from multiple presentations, simply select them in the slide sorter view or their thumbnails in the normal view by clicking on multiple slides while holding the Control key, or Shift Command for Mac, and then click the Copy button in the Clipboard group of the Home tab, or use the shortcut Control C or Command C on Mac. Then click the Paste button in the Clipboard group of the Home tab, or use the shortcut Control V or Command V on Mac to paste the copied slides into your new presentation. Once you have combined the slides that you need, you can keep them as is or edit them as you please to complete the creation of your new presentation. If you are working on a PC, you can also merge two existing presentations using the tools found in the Compare group of the Review tab. Clicking on the Compare button produces a pop-up window to browse and select another presentation to merge into your existing presentation by clicking the Merge button. This will compare the two presentations, listing any differences between the two presentations in a revisions pane that appears on the right side of your screen. Using the revisions pane, you can navigate to each of the proposed changes to your presentation and either accept or reject the changes using the buttons of the same name in the review tab. The reviewing pane can be displayed or hidden using the button of the same name in the compare group. Clicking on each change in the presentation changes section of the presentation pane will display its details above in the slide changes section. In addition, you can use the previous and next buttons to cycle through the changes made to your presentation. As you do, you can click the accept or reject buttons to keep the changes or discard them, respectively. If you know you want to keep or discard all changes in a particular slide or the entire presentation, you can access these options by clicking on the accept or reject button labels to reveal a drop-down menu with more options. Clicking reject doesn't mean the proposed change to your presentation is deleted, though. You can change your mind whenever you like and decide to accept a proposed change that you have already rejected, and vice versa. When you are done with your review of the changes, click the End Review button to complete the review, applying the current accept and reject decisions to your presentation. These tools make it a cinch to merge two slideshows in a presentation and utilize existing content to speed up your work. Presenting. Now, let's get down to planning your presentation. Once you have decided what type of presentation you will be creating, you should consider how you want to make your point. Are you hoping to prove a point with insightful data analysis or excite them with an inspiring message? Present pristine wireframes or carefully styled marketing materials? You can refer to the design principles we covered earlier in the course to make your message shine. And when you are done, it's time to present. If you are making a presentation that will be presented live, you should have your verbal presentation in mind as you design your slides. The information that your audience reads on the slides behind you and the information they hear from you directly weave together in a delicate dance that keeps them focused on you, but adds a visual element to your talk to keep the audience more engaged. As you create your slides, plan what content you'll present in each slide and jot the points down in the slide notes using the notes page view. Or in the normal view, click the notes button in the show group of tools in the view tab of the ribbon to display an area for making notes on each slide below the main slide display. You can make this notes area bigger and smaller by clicking and dragging the line that divides it from the slide display area. You already used the tools for making notes on your slides earlier in the course, so be sure to apply them now when it counts. As you design your slides, it's a good idea to do a few practice run-throughs to see where you are in terms of its length and flow. Revisit our discussion on rehearsing your presentation from earlier in the course to remind yourself how to use the Rehearse Timings tool found in the Setup group of the Slideshow tab. This tool lets you rehearse your presentation with PowerPoint recording for you how much time you spend on each slide as you progress. If you save your transition timings, they will appear under each slide using the sorter view and in the timings group of the transition tab. So if your presentation is too short or too long, more likely, you can look through your slide timings to see which slides you need to spend more or less time on and time yourself again. When you get up for the final presentation, you should really try to avoid having a piece of paper in front of you or looking at notes at all. The more eye contact you can make with your audience, the better. If you do need to look at your notes as you speak, you can use the presenter view that we discovered in Unit 1 by checking the Use Presenter View checkbox in the Monitors group of the Slideshow tab. The presenter view allows you to view your slide notes as you present, while the audience will see the actual slides on a second monitor and nothing more. Presentation packaging. An important aspect of presenting your presentation is the physical materials you will use to put the information at your audience's fingertips. This is where you can apply the different views that we learned of at the outset of the course. The normal, outline, slide sorter, and notes page views can all be printed for sharing with the audience by selecting the appropriate settings in the print pop-up that appears when you select File, Print. Once again, an awareness of the presentation you are creating and its unique needs will decide whether handing out printed slides is appropriate and effective. Select the type of presentation you need to create to see recommendations on the use of printed slides. Wireframe. You don't need to print your wireframes, but you could if you want to discuss them as a team. If you want to include your design considerations that led you to set up the wireframes the way you did, include them as notes on each slide and print the presentation in Notes view. If you want feedback on your color scheme, make sure to print in color. You can access your print settings by selecting File, Print, which will bring up a window presenting a number of different options. If your presentation contains introductory slides in addition to your wireframes, then just print the wireframes by specifying the range of slides to print, for example, 2 through 6. Alternatively, you can select the slides manually and then select the Print Selection option, Selected Slides on Mac, or just Print Current Slide, PC only. Prototype. You'll want people to actually walk through your prototype in user tests, so rather than printing it out, share a link using the Share button in the ribbon. Pitch deck. When making a pitch, it's a good idea to print out slides for any interested investors to take home with them. In the print layout, replace the full page slides default with handouts and put anywhere from 2 to 9 slides on the page. You may be able to get all the slides onto one double-paged piece of paper. Otherwise, select the most relevant slides to print using the Print Selections, Selected Slides on Mac, or Custom Range option, and try to get your handout onto one double-paged piece of paper. If you like, you can print out a handout of multiple pages using the normal view or a low number of slides per page and staple the slides together as a booklet. But remember, the longer and chunkier it is, the less chance the investors will take the booklet with them. Regardless of the number of slides you choose to print, make sure that if you're handing the slides out to investors, you print in color so the booklet catches their attention. Report for design and development. This is going to be a discussion, not a presentation. You want everyone to have the relevant data quickly and easily accessible to reference as you brainstorm. Print using the handouts layout option in black and white to keep everything within reach. Printing all the slides might cause your team to be preoccupied flipping through the presentation to find what you're talking about, rather than following along with the discussion. Pitch deck with traction data. Unlike the earlier pitch, at this one you already have the investor's attention and can afford to go a little more in-depth in this sit-down meeting. Print in color and bind this presentation with a plastic cover in a neat little booklet using the normal or notes page view. Report for marketing team. These days, a good marketing team makes decisions based on data, and they will spend time reading through this report before they formulate a marketing strategy and come back to present it to you. As much as possible, you should include this data in a tabular or graphic chart in your slides. Print using the normal view. You can print in a standard black and white or in grayscale that presents different colors as shades of gray to capture different column colorings in graphs without paying the high costs of color printing. Of course, you'll have to do all of this work before advancing. But once you're ready, you can utilize PowerPoint's review tools to catch any mistakes before the big day. Finishing up. Ever heard the phrase, two heads are better than one? Well, it's true. When working on an intricate presentation that can contain dozens of slides, each with their own complex sets of data and sophisticated animations, we can get so involved that we completely miss the errors that would be obvious to a fresh set of eyes. Even if we have not made any mistakes, our work may be improved upon with a different perspective that we hadn't considered, or be enhanced with new insights from our colleagues and friends. It's always a good idea to run your presentation by someone else before you finally present to your audience. Review. What tools does PowerPoint provide for reviewing your presentation for errors or feedback? Quite a few. They can be found in the Review tab of the ribbon. The core tool for reviewing your work is PowerPoint's commenting system, which is the same system used in other Office products such as Word. You can add comments to your work or a friend's work that you are providing feedback for by clicking on the New Comment button in the Comments group of the Review tab. This will add a little speech bubble to the top right corner of the current slide and display the Comments pane along PowerPoint's right margin. This is the dedicated area in which all comments are displayed and can be edited. Before actually writing in a comment, make sure that it refers to the correct location on the slide so that the person receiving your feedback can easily see what your comment is about. The speech bubble that was added to the screen can be moved to the relevant position by clicking and dragging on the screen. For example, if a comment recommends an additional step be added to a process, you can move the comment speech bubble to the location in the process where the additional step would fit. To add the comment itself, you can then enter your text in the Comments pane and click Enter when you are done. You can also add a new comment by clicking the New button in the Comments pane and can delete a comment by clicking on its speech bubble or comment in the Comments pane and clicking the Delete Comment button in the Comments group of the Review tab. Alternatively, you can move your mouse over a comment in the Comments pane and click the cross icon that appears in the top right corner of the comment. If you would like to delete multiple comments, you can do so in one move by clicking on the label of the Delete Comment button and selecting Delete All Comments on Slide or Delete All Comments in this presentation options from the drop-down menu. Reviewing comments. Once you receive your presentation back from a peer review, it should contain a lot of comments, each with its own speech bubble marking its place on a slide. Such icons or symbols are called markup, as they identify changes or comments that have been made to your work. You'll need these icons as you review someone else's comments to guide you to the place of concern, which is why they must be positioned appropriately, as we discussed earlier. However, seeing little speech bubbles everywhere can become distracting or confusing. While the Show Comments button in the Comments group is solely for showing or hiding the comments pane, clicking on its label reveals another option to show markup, and deselecting this option, you can tell by whether it has a tick displayed, will hide all comment speech bubbles from your presentation. When actually reviewing the comments in a presentation, you can either click on the different speech bubbles in the slide, causing that particular comment to be displayed and highlighted in the comments pane, or you can be more methodical. This means using the Previous and Next buttons in the Comments group of the Review tab, or the Previous and Next buttons at the top right of the Comments pane to move through the comments in your presentation one by one. Such an approach is useful for ensuring that you haven't accidentally missed a comment. Often, comments are made in your presentation by a boss or editor, and you are expected to address each issue that has been raised. In such a situation, missing a single comment can cause a problem. If a comment asks for a significant change or points out a mistake and you don't see it, you're culpable for the problems that may arise from not adequately reviewing the feedback that you have been given. Lastly, but most importantly, you can respond to comments. In the Comments pane, each comment has a reply text input box where you can respond to the comments left for you. The review tools offered by PowerPoint are very powerful, and you'll find that they are used extensively in the workplace. Remember, when leaving comments for other people or responding to their feedback, egos can get a little bruised. It's best to be nice and always remember that words can get misunderstood when everything is in writing. If something seems offensive, or you are worried about offending someone else, go and speak to them directly via phone or a face-to-face conversation. Speaking to someone directly can also involve miscommunications, but it's the easiest and clearest way to make sure you are understanding someone correctly or being completely understood yourself. Commenting etiquette. Just like regular speech, commenting has developed its own set of etiquette, or unwritten rules of polite conversation. Writing. Don't write in all caps all the time. All caps can signify that you're upset, even if you are not. Be brief. Long comments probably won't be read. Using correct grammar will make you look good, even if commenting is often more casual by nature. Manner. Practice respectful disagreement, not personal attacks. They won't get you anywhere anyway. Don't be a hater. No one likes a troll. Be humble. There's no need to talk about how amazing you are all the time. Content. Try to post something that adds value to a conversation. Just echoing another person's opinion adds about as much value as a like. Stay on topic and be brief. Long comments probably won't be read. Don't repeat other people. Make sure you read the thread before commenting. Once you receive feedback from your colleagues and make the necessary changes, you're ready to finalize your presentation for publication. We'll tackle this topic in the next section. Finalizing your presentation. When you complete your presentation, there are some finishing touches that need to be done to ready your work for publication. First, you should proof your work, which means double-checking the completed document to make sure it doesn't contain errors. PowerPoint provides some tools for checking your work in the proofing group of tools in the Review tab, including a check for spelling and a thesaurus that will help you find alternative words with the same meaning in order to vary the language used in your presentation. Earlier in the course, we discussed how to share a PowerPoint file or use Microsoft OneDrive cloud services. When you do share your presentation, you may want to protect it to ensure that it doesn't contain any private information and that any sensitive information your presentation does contain doesn't fall into the wrong hands. Protect and inspect. When you create a presentation, you might include personal information on the slides, such as your name and contact details, or other confidential and personal information may be hidden in comments, slide notes, deleted text, hidden cells in a table, or in the name of the document author. For this reason, it's important to remove hidden information from your presentation before sharing it. To remove personal information from a presentation, you can walk through the steps outlined below, PC only. Step 1. Click the File tab to go to Backstage View, PC only. Step 2. From the Info pane, click Check for Issues, then select Inspect Document from the drop-down menu. Step 3. The Document Inspector will appear. PowerPoint will ask you to save a backup file, as changes made here can be permanent. Check or uncheck the boxes, depending on the content you want to review, then click Inspect. Step 4. The inspection results will show an exclamation mark for any categories where it found potentially sensitive data, and it will also have a Remove All button for each of these categories. Click Remove All to remove the data. When you're done, click Close. On a Mac, you can secure your document manually by deleting all comments, review, delete, delete all comments in presentation, and making sure your user information is not too revealing. PowerPoint, Preferences, User Information. Removing hidden information from your document keeps you safe, but it doesn't keep your work private. To ensure that your intellectual property is not stolen, you can protect your document, ensuring that it can only be opened by people with the correct password, which you can send them directly. To protect your PowerPoint presentation, 1. Click the File tab to go to Backstage View. 2. From the Info pane, click the Protect Presentation command. 3. In the drop-down menu, choose one of the following options according to your needs. Mark as Final. Mark the presentation as final to dissuade the reader from making any changes, PC only. Encrypt with password. Require a password to open the file. On a Mac, you can encrypt with a password by selecting File, Passwords, Encrypt this presentation and require a password to open. Restrict access. Allow people to view the document, but not edit, copy, or print. On a Mac, you can lock a presentation as read-only by requiring a password to make modifications. To add a password, select File, Passwords, Encrypt this presentation, and require a password to modify. Alternatively, you can lock a file using the Finder by right-clicking on the file and selecting Get Info, General, Locked. In the Info window, you can also allocate specific users different levels of access, such as Read and Write, Read Only, or No Access. Add a digital signature. Mark your work as yours with an invisible digital signature, so no one else can claim it as their own. Marking your presentation as final is a good way to discourage others from editing the file, while the other options give you even more control if needed. This feature is only available in PowerPoint for PC. When you save your document, make sure to put in place version control, where you save each set of significant changes in a document as a subsequent version, labeled using a numbering system such as version 1.2, version 1.3, etc. This allows you to easily roll back a set of changes at any point by picking up a previous version of your presentation and starting afresh from there. If you have uploaded your file to the OneDrive cloud, the previous file versions will automatically be stored so that you can restore them at any point using the Version History feature of the Document Inspector, or File, Browse Version History on Mac. PowerPoint Online. Of course, finalizing your document is very different online, working in your browser. For one thing, PowerPoint Online does not allow you to merge presentations by importing a second presentation and accept or review the changes. It also doesn't allow you to rehearse your presentation by recording timings or use the presenter view. You'll have to keep time yourself. You can still prepare for your presentation by creating notes and printing handouts with either the original slides alone, the notes included, or up to 3 slides per page. You can still use Microsoft's powerful commenting system to have your work reviewed online, and you can even tag your colleagues in a comment using the @ sign, which will send them an alert via email to look at your comment. Tagging is commonly used in social media, such as Facebook, and PowerPoint Online has utilized the same tool to enhance collaboration. However, comments in PowerPoint Online cannot be linked to a specific location on a slide using a speech bubble icon, as we saw in PowerPoint for PC and Mac. Rather, they are only linked to the current slide. Still in the review tab of PowerPoint Online, the Check Slide and Check Accessibility tools still provide the same automated spelling check and tools for ensuring accessibility of content to those with disabilities. In fact, by selecting Check Slide Editor Settings, you can access an extensive list of grammar and writing checks, such as punctuation, embarrassing word use, consistency, formal language, the use of cliches, and more. While you can't actually remove hidden information or protect a slideshow in PowerPoint Online, you can always select File, Download As to download the file as a PowerPoint file or PDF to secure the document on your desktop. Knowledge Check. Test your knowledge of new information by answering these questions and then review the feedback. Question 1. Erica's company has been doing well for a while. They've released a great product, and based on the feedback from their first customers, they've made changes that optimized their product and have led to even more sales. Now, Erica finds that she is having trouble meeting demand with her current resources, but she doesn't have a lot of money on hand to pay for the necessary expansions. What should Erica do? Option 1. Build a pitch deck for angel investors and try to secure venture capital. Venture capital is given to invest in promising startups. Erica's company is beyond this point since she's been selling product for a while. Option 2. Build or update a pitch deck with sales data and try to secure Series A funding. Series A funding is the first round of funding from large investors, very useful as Erica attempts to scale up her business. Option 3. Stop trying to gain new customers and focus entirely on retaining existing customers. While this would temporarily solve Erica's scaling problems, a business generally wants to expand to as many customers as they can reach. There's a better solution that will allow Erica to both keep old customers and continue to reach new ones. Option 4. Start a new product line and rely on her early adopters to buy the new product. This would only exacerbate Erica's problems. A whole new product line would require even more staff and time to create and maintain. Question 2. You have finished creating a PowerPoint presentation and want to make sure that anyone who opens it in the future is unable to make any changes to it, but you want the file to be readable to anyone who finds it. What security option should you choose? Option 1. Mark as final. Marking a document as final may discourage others from editing it, but it doesn't actually add any security measures that would prohibit someone from changing the file. Option 2. Encrypt with password. This is a high level of protection, but it would mean that people can't read the file at all if they don't have the password. Option 3. Restrict access. Yes, this option allows people to view the document, but not edit, copy, or print it without permission. Option 4. Add a digital signature. This helps protect your intellectual property by declaring you are the author of a file, but it won't keep others from editing it. Question 3. Your teacher has asked you to proof your slideshow before turning it in. What are they asking you to do? Option 1. Check the completed document for errors, including spelling and grammar errors. Proofing could also involve checking references, graphs, charts, or other important data. Option 2. Apply proper security restrictions, especially restricting editing rights. These are security features, which are unrelated to proofing. Option 3. Resolve all comments and delete them from the file. While you would complete this task before turning in many files, this isn't really what proofing is about. Option 4. Remove all notes attached to slides and turn in just the slideshow itself. Proofing doesn't have anything to do with notes. Try again. Conclusion. When it comes to applying the PowerPoint skills you've acquired, you might find that PowerPoint is quite a detail-oriented task. Whether you are making a wireframe, prototype, pitch deck, report, or training materials, you'll have to finalize your presentations before releasing them to the public. This might involve having your work reviewed and proofed, protected, backed up using version control, rehearsed, printed, and presented, depending on the type of presentation you are creating. These final steps may seem less fun than some of the design and animation work we've done so far, but they are absolutely necessary for producing a quality final product. Hopefully, this unit has given you the final know-how you need to produce your best presentation yet, and you feel that you have the tools and knowledge to take your ideas to their next stages of growth.